Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Scott Kersner.
Translating a sentence from one language to another is difficult enough, but what about poetry? How do you capture the music of one language in another?
With great difficulty, but also with great excitement and with incredible pleasure.
That's Rina Espaillat, an award-winning poet and translator. She's author of 13 books, including 11 collections of poetry. And she's also the most prominent Spanish translator of poetry by Robert Frost. It's a delicate dance, as Espaillat puts it, balancing in Spanish the structure and sound of Frost's superficially simple English verse with the deeper meaning embedded in the text. I spoke with Rina Espaillat earlier this week from her home in Newburyport, and I started with her own story, and I asked her, when did she first become interested in poetry?
Oh, goodness, I was about 4 years old, living in the city of La Vega in the Dominican Republic with my father's mother, who was a poet. She was a lifelong poet, never published, but she used to have gatherings in her house of people who wrote or who recited or who played the piano or the guitar or the violin and so on. And these gatherings of poetry and music would take place, and I fell in love really through my ears with the sound of poetry, especially combined with music, but also by itself. So I didn't know exactly what it was the grown-ups were doing, but it sounded like so much fun. I could tell they were playing, and I made up my mind very early in life I wanted to do that,
wow,
whatever it was.
Now, what was it about the sound that so it charmed a four-year-old?
Well, it sounded like play. It sounded like all those children's games that are played by bouncing a ball. You know, A, my name is Annie. B, my name is Betty. All those things that captivate children early in life. And they do so for a reason, and it's the music of the language.
Mm-hmm.
It was not so much the what as the how that I really fell in love with. The fact that poetry, even without music, doesn't so much say as sing things.
Right.
And I fell in love with the singing.
Yeah.
And it was not until I was 7 years old, 8 years old, by which time I already was in this country and spoke English, because those early poems, of course, were in Spanish.
That's right.
But by the time I was 8 and had learned English and was reading poetry in English in elementary school, I realized that the what was every bit as important as the how, and that all of it is singing, all of it is music in a way, and that the music carries so much about human life, human experiences, human nature.
Well, Rina, can I just jump in here for a quick second? Because I want to ask you, before we leave those earliest years of yours, I mean, looking back, do you know who you were hearing at the time? I mean, I presume your grandmother's poetry was some of it, but who else were they
well,
singing?
Well, there were poems by my grandmother and poems by her friends also, but also poems by famous Latin American and Spanish poets.
Of course.
And I remember Santos Chocano, for instance, a poem about the horses of the conquistadores and how brave they were and how they ran into battle bravely and conquered the continent and all of that kind of thing. And, of course, Sor Juana Inés de la Cruz, whom I started hearing very early in life and whom I loved right away.
Yeah. So it's one thing to undergo the struggle of writing your own poetry, of marrying that music and meaning, as you were talking about. And we could spend an hour talking to you about your own body of work. But it's another thing to undertake the struggle to translate someone else's poetry, to do that, again, that marriage of music and meaning that began with someone else's work. So what first inspired you to want to translate poetry?
Well, you know, I think we immigrants, people who come from someplace over there somewhere, whatever the over there is, whatever the other language is, carry with us an awful lot of what we left behind. And I always had the desire to introduce the second half of my family, because my English-speaking friends are the other half of my family. I wanted to introduce to them what I remembered with love from home, home in quotes, of course. And I began by translating from Spanish to English so that my husband, for instance, and my English-speaking friends could understand why I loved this stuff so much. But then eventually I realized that the English work had become every bit as much mine as the Spanish. I fell in love very early with Emily Dickinson, with Robert Frost, with Walt Whitman, with poets from all the way back, the very first names in English letters. So I decided that I wanted to make the conversation two-directional.
Yeah. Well, Rena, so I must ask you, though, because it seems to me that of the many media in which we communicate, poetry is really one which is so very much of the language and of the culture in which it was first conceived.
Oh,
right?
You said a mouthful.
I mean, do you ever talk to me about how you do translations? Because, you know, when you talk about music and meaning, is it possible at all to faithfully recreate that music and meaning in another language?
The challenge makes it so much fun. You know, it has remained a game. Poetry is a game, like all the arts. If there is nothing standing in your way and you can just do everything you want without any difficulty, you're not accomplishing anything. I mean, can you imagine a baseball game in which it doesn't matter where the ball goes or what the field is or whether you catch it or not? So the arts work the same way. There are goals, there are rules, and there are difficulties. And part of the fun of what we all do is getting through those difficulties, you know, being in a box when you dance.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned some of the people that you have translated. I heard Dickinson in there, Proust, Wilbur, and of course you're going to be talking about your translations of Robert Frost.
Right, and the problems, the challenges of translation are very well illustrated by the work of Robert Frost, because he is a difficult poet, not because his language is difficult, but because it's superficially so easy, because it looks as if it's so easy. It's so much like simple conversation. But of course, under that surface simplicity, there is a great deal of artistry.
Yeah.
A great deal of thought and of calculation. And the trick with him is making the translation sound just the way his original sound.
Well, so let me just jump in here, because what I'd love to do is do like a little mini master class with you right now, because we actually have some tape here of Robert Frost reading one of his own poems, one that you have translated. And this is, of course, the possibly one of his most famous poems, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening.
That's right.
Here's Robert Frost himself. We're going to listen to this first, and then we're going to talk to you about how you translated that from the English to Spanish. So Robert Frost reading Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening.
Whose woods these are, I think I know. His house is in the village, though. He will not see me stopping here to watch his woods fill up with snow. My little horse must think it queer to stop without a farmhouse near, between the woods and frozen lake, the darkest evening of the year. He gives his harness belt a shake to ask if there is some mistake. The only other sounds the sweep of easy wind and downy flake. The woods are lovely, dark and deep, but I have promises to keep, and miles to go before I sleep, and miles to go before I sleep.
The masterful Robert Frost is reading his own poem, Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. So, Rena, where do you start then?
Well, the important thing, again, is to tackle the how, because the what would not accomplish the magic that it works without his how. And his how, of course, is the Rubaiyat stanza, which works A-A-B-A. And then B, B, C, B. So I had to imitate his how. I had to get that little horse in there talking to its master, which is a delightful touch. I had to get those snowflakes, which are so light in the poem, so magically swift and flying with such incredible lightness in the poem.
The easy wind and downy flake.
That's right. And, of course, I had to get that repetition of the one line at the end, which is what gives the poem its profundity, because the repetition means, this is crucial, this is my point. It's the obligations of life that tie me to the earth, to my poverty, to my difficulties. I cannot afford to take off from life, although in the poem there is a very strong hint of a death wish, a wish for rest from these obligations. And then comes that double line at the end that says, ah, but I'm here to stay because I must, because it's my duty. And the poem in Spanish is called Al detenerse ante un bosque durante una noche nevosa. Este bosque creo saber de quién será. Su casa está en la aldea. No me verá detenerme ante su bosque silencioso, viendo la nieve que al fin lo colmará. Sin duda, mi potrillo está curioso, tan lejos de la granja, al verse ocioso entre este bosque y ese lago helado en el nadir del año tenebroso. Se sacude, el arreo cascabelado tintinea, como un decir, amo, ha cerrado, y no hay otro sonido que el pequeño silbar de viento suave y copo alado. El bosque es bello, oscuro, hondo, halagüeño, pero di mi palabra, y tengo empeño, y hay millas por viajar antes del sueño, y hay millas por viajar antes del sueño.
Beautiful.
Oh. Thank you.
I think I hear what you were saying earlier, that the challenge with Frost is that superficially the language is so simple and straightforward.
Oh, yes, yes. It's really conversational. It's a man talking at random, almost as if he were just thinking of the words as they're coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem I had with this poem is that English is so economical. You can get so much into an English line. For instance, whose woods these are, I think I know. Look at how much he has gotten into that whole first line. First, these woods are owned by somebody. Then, I think I know whose they are, but I'm not sure. And then, I'm going to tell you about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very hard to get into so few lines. I had to add syllables. I tried like mad to squeeze the Spanish into the same number of syllables, but I couldn't do it.
Mm.
I had to add an extra couple of syllables for each line. So that in English it's, whose woods these are, I think I know. Only 8 syllables. But in Spanish it's, este bosque creo saber de quién será. So you heard, because Spanish is not as iambic as English is. It's not as tatum, tatum, tatum as English is. It flows like French or Italian, like all the Romance languages. It's more like a quiet flow of water downstream rather than a marching of boots.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rina, if I may ask, you have been very deservedly lauded for your work in the world of poetry. The Richard Wilbur Award, the T.S. Eliot Prize, the 3 Poetry Society of America Prizes. But I understand that you call the Robert Frost Translation Award Tree in My Window.
Tree at My Window.
Tree at My Window,
tree
sorry.
At My Window, window tree, my sash is lowered when night comes on. That's the way the poem begins. And it's one of my favorite poems in the world.
And you were one of the first winners of this award in 2004.
I was the first one.
And you call it your private Nobel.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Because to have a poem that is named after my favorite poet in the United States, my favorite estadounidense poet, is a real honor. I feel as if he were in the room with me.
Wow. Well, it's so clear that poetry and translating poetry and bringing the worlds together, as you said so beautifully earlier, gives you so much joy. It's given me a great deal of joy just talking about it with you. Well, Rina Espiat is an author and translator of poetry, short stories, and essays. She's also founder of the Powwow River Poets Writing Group in Newburyport. Rina Espiat, it has been a singular pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
And Rena will be speaking tomorrow night at the Pollard Memorial Library in Lowell as part of UMass Lowell's free series on the history of Latinos in the U.S. and their contributions to American culture. And by the way, Rena Espaillat gave us a little gift before we wrapped up our conversation with her. She read one of her newest poems for us. It's called Guidelines, and it's a meditation on love and loss that includes the line, "It's going to hurt. That's the risk you ran with your first breath." You can listen to her read the poem at radioboston.org. Stay with us. There's more coming up. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Scott Kersner. This is Radio Boston.